This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, Dave.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Michael Reese Hospital, the First Sacrificial Lamb, that appeared in the Reader on July 30th, 2009. First, Ben, would you describe the location of Michael Reese Hospital?
Roughly speaking, and as you recall, we took a bike ride there once. It is at King Drive between 26th and 31st.
And why did we take a bike ride there?
We took a bike ride there in the summer. There was a rally by activists from the Near South Side who were demanding that the city, oh my God, just thinking about this, trying not to laugh at the irony of it, that the city sign a legally binding document guaranteeing that whatever housing they put up as a result of this Olympic endeavor, at least 30% of it be affordable. And by affordable, they mean going to people who were poor, working class, by Chicago income standards. Anyway, so there was a rally. We went there. In those days, the hospital was still owned by the hospital. So you could ride around the complex and look at the nice architecture and see the park. There's a park in there and a softball diamond. And as you may remember, we rode around the complex. Now that the city owns it, the irony here, now that it's publicly owned, it's no trespassing, and there's guards that will kick you off, tell you to scram if you wander around the area. So.
Well, speaking of architecture, your article this week talks about the opposition to the immediate demolition of the Michael Reese Hospital buildings by Chicago preservationists. And the preservationists want the city to wait till October when the International Olympic Committee decides whether Chicago will get to the 2016 Olympics before the city raises what the preservationists call architecturally significant buildings and replace them with housing for Olympic athletes. In the first two paragraphs of your article, you say that the preservationists are not against the Olympics. Then you take care to emphatically repeat that point. It looks to me like you're trying to protect somebody.
No, I was just sort of having fun. I emphatically repeat it to underscore what I think is a central irony in this position that so many people, not just the preservationists, have taken regarding the Olympics. And that is, they are quick to state that they are for the Olympics, provided that XYZ could happen to protect their interests. Keeping in mind that's an absurd position to take because the Olympics wouldn't happen if XYZ were added to the pot. So you're taking a position, as I like to point out to people, that's absurd, that will never happen. For instance, even more to the point, when columnists write, I would be for the Olympics, I love the idea of the Olympics, but I want a guarantee that we not pay more than $500 million. Well, we're not going to get the Olympics if we put that in there. That stipulation is not going to be accepted by the International Olympic Committee. So how could you say you're for the Olympics?
So if you were leading the preservationists, would you go for broke and try to stop the demolition of the Michael Reese campus by throwing in with the Olympics opponents?
Absolutely. I would have done that months ago. I've been quarreling, and good-naturedly, with the preservationists for months. I would tell them, your position is absurd. Your position is as absurd as the position taken by those protesters almost, although I think the protesters were in negotiations at the time, who were saying, please, we are not going to agree to the Olympics unless you guarantee that 30% of the housing is affordable. To them, I would say, there's no way of trusting these people because the housing won't be built until after the Olympics is through, at which point they have no reason to give you 30%.
Let's talk about the housing. The preservationists ask why demolition of the Reese buildings can't wait till after October 2nd when the city learns whether it'll get the 2016 Olympics. Let me pose to you this argument for starting sooner on the demolition rather than later. First of all, as the mayor said, this site will be redeveloped anyway, regardless of whether Chicago gets the Olympics. And secondly, almost exactly a year ago in an article titled Magic Beans, you wrote, it will probably be harder to sell the units if buyers can't move in until the games in 2016. Well, why not adopt a development schedule that makes units available, say, next year?
Because then you would have to move the people out to bring the athletes in, which would be very cumbersome.
But I mean, you could adopt a development schedule that, you know, is ambitious starting, you know, between now and October, and then if Chicago gets the Olympics, then you could relax it. But this way you hedge your bets, you know what I'm saying?
What you're saying, presuming that there is any money to build this without the Olympics, which is a huge presumption that I don't know if you can safely make because there's no supporting evidence.
Well, one of the unions just pledged $500 million.
Yes, with the stipulation that the pledge disappears if we don't get the Olympics. That only underscores the point I'm making, which is that there is no guarantee, not even a great likelihood, that an Olympic Village will be built or a housing complex will be built in this land unless we get the Olympics. There's no need for it. Without a need, there's really no market for it. Without a market, no private investor would go there. So what you could do is induce a private investor to go there with a huge handout from the city, which I suspect is where we're going anyway. That's been my prediction all along, that the city will end up heavily subsidizing this with TIF dollars.
Tax increment financing.
Yeah. So the preservationist point of view is such that if we have now determined that it's in the best public interest to take this old hospital and convert it into a residential, then let's see what all our options are. Some of it could be reuse. In other words, take an old building and convert it. Maybe some of it could be new construction, build from the ground up, a combination thereof. Maybe not all the area would be built for residential. Maybe you could have some medical facility since it's an old hospital. In other words, let's keep our options open for what we're going to do with this land if we don't get the Olympics. Their argument, and I think it's a pretty convincing one, is if we eradicate everything, if we just tear it all down, we're limiting our options. Why would we want to do that? Besides that, then they have the argument that there's historically valuable buildings that we shouldn't destroy, that there's a compelling public interest for saving them. That's their argument. I think it's a pretty strong one. But the overall larger point is that while the Olympics is driving policy, all that matters is what Olympic planners want. And there's no real negotiation. It's just full speed ahead. We need our games.
And we'll be talking about that again in the future, I'm sure, but I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jurowski of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.